Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
How's your hand?
I have another traumatic hand injury. Sam's in there not looking up, and poor Scott's going through the stack, and I go to aggressively pull my chair up, and I pinch my finger in between the chair and the desk. We've all done it.
That's exactly right.
I can't bend it.
I'm sitting there putting the stack out, you know, separating the stories just perfectly.
He jumped a foot.
And all I hear is, and I go, geez, and I look over and she's looking at her middle finger.
It's the important one, too.
Well, you need that all the time.
The most used.
God. What is the dumbest injury you've ever had?
I've been through the windshield of a car because I didn't wear a seatbelt, Dana.
That is avoidable and tragic. I mean,
doesn't make it any less
dumbest
stupid.
Dumbest thing you've ever done. And mine is still shutting my hand in my own car
door. I was going to say, you have a list.
Mine is probably sitting on the sit and spin at my parents' house at Fort Richardson, Alaska. And I told my mom, I'm going to sit and spin until dinner's ready.
And?
Turns out when you spin, you get dizzy.
I have a lot of fake teeth.
Did you spin yourself off that thing?
No.
Oh, that's right. You got up and you were so dizzy.
I face planted onto the concrete basement floor.
Oh, God.
And knocked out three of my front teeth.
Anything involving teeth just stresses me out. Sam, what's your dumbest injury?
So the house that I grew up in, we had a beautiful, huge stone front porch.
Yep.
And I made it a regular practice when I would be going out to play with my friends that instead of taking the stairs like a human being, I would plant one foot on the railing of the porch and then launch myself over into the grass. It was like an 8-foot drop. Nothing crazy. And one day, I missed. And we had rose bushes.
Oh, no.
Along the base of that porch. And I not only got scrapes from the stone porch all down my chest, I landed on the top of my head and then rolled into rose bushes.
Oh, God.
And I lived to tell it.
Yep. Your mom probably still made you go to school, too.
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back then, man, unless you had like, when we were growing up, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, you had to be at death's door if you weren't going to school.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be trauma.
Or the flu.
Active bleeding or legit flu.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull out that Mercurochrome and you're healed.
Well, they would give you baby aspirin back then. Just take a baby aspirin, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Take a baby aspirin, you'll be fine. Which I'm pretty sure caused some sort of
disorder
later.
I can only remember taking one day in all of my 12 years of secondary education, I can only remember taking one sick day.
Are you kidding? Did you have perfect attendance?
Yeah. Dana, when was the last time you saw me calling sick here?
No, I mean in school. That's a huge deal. They usually give an award for that when you graduate.
Not on military bases.
Oh, you're just expected to go.
Yeah.
Got it.
They don't care.
Got it.
I had the flu one day during my senior year at Lansing. And I didn't go to school.
Aww.
I faked sickness to take sick days, but my mom had a hard and fast rule of if you have anything planned for after school, you're not doing it.
No dice.
That's right.
There were days where I wouldn't have anything after school and I would fake it. And then there were other days where like I would have the stomach flu and I would throw up before school and I'd be like, nah, mom, I'm fine. I got to do this thing after school.
Not missing
I'll power
that.
Through. And I'd go to school and throw up at school.
I've thrown up in the trash can here at the office.
It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. At that point, you're just endangering everyone else. I do think that's what COVID taught us. Like, if you're sick, legitimately go home.
Okay.
Or if you get your finger smashed in between the desk and the armrest and you have a tingling sensation in your shoulder, go home.
Well, the tingling sensation is a heart attack on the way.
No, I think I hit a nerve. Good God.
You certainly did. Break my big toe walking up two steps.
You hit your big toe walking up what steps, Sam?
Two steps into my house. It was two steps, and I broke my big toe.
Oh, broken.
Yeah.
Broken, wow.
Oh, you believe him.
What do you mean? You did not break your toe last year when you kept saying you broke your toe.
He says, what?
Sam agrees.
I agree.
I think that you jammed it.
It was broken.
Okay. Do you have the x-rays on you?
No.
Dan, you know why? Because I'm a man.
And when was the last time that a broken fourth toe made you hobble for 8 weeks?
It was a fifth toe. It was the pinky toe.
Used for balance.
It was your pinky?
Yeah.
Toe.
There was a lot of complaining.
And I hit it on the foot of the couch. And it broke. I know it broke.
And 8 weeks later, you still looked like a right foot amputee walking into the building.
Because
it broke.
It was broke.
And my mother, when we were, gosh, what year were you going to roller skating parties? Like seven or 8 years old?
That was sixth grade.
Yeah, elementary school. We went to Starlight Skate in Topeka.
Do you want to skate with me?
Yes, and during a slow song, probably Easy on Sunday Morning by Lionel Richie, she decided to skate with my older cousin. We went as a family, and she went to go turn around on her skates and fell directly on her kneecap. And all I remember was my dad coming over and trying to get her skate off. And you know how, you know, skates back then, you got to tug on that thing. And all I remember as a child,
they were like army boots,
was him trying to pull and she was screaming.
Because the knee was shattered.
Let me look. She shattered her kneecap. And the only reason I tell that story is because every single time it rains, that woman, and not because she's Indian, but she is, that woman to this day.
What?
Is in pain because of that. And as I recall, she was in like a big old leg thing. There's not a ton they can, back then in 1979, 1980, she said it was the most painful injury she has, more painful than childbirth.
Scott, I broke my big toe and ran at state track 2 weeks later.
Because he's a man.
Well, Sam, you're a better human being than I am. you're better.
Let's not try to rank each other's injuries over the years.
That's what we do.
I'll tell you something right now. You want to know what does not hurt?
Ribs?
Oh, no. Ribs hurt.
Okay.
Oh, that is the most excruciating pain other than I imagine childbirth is pretty excruciating. Breaking your rib is the worst.
Every breath.
Every breath. If somebody makes you laugh.
Any movement
better not have to pass gas.
I do remember you saying, don't make me laugh, don't make me laugh.
When I broke my rib?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what doesn't hurt? Going through the windshield of a car.
You were in shock. Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me at all.
The adrenaline flows so quickly.
Yeah.
I do not remember any pain at all.
At all.
Going through the windshield
until later. You know, you wake up later.
Well, 2-3 days later, when the adrenaline wears off and so do the pain meds, it hurts.
All right, speaking of no pain, no gain, I took your advice. I took in the Run, Do Not Walk kingdom. We got through episode 1 and 2.
Okay, we did not get 2 last night because America's Got Talent was on.
It is outstanding. Even if you're not in Kansas City, they go over, you guys, the history of the game of football, how it came to be that the Chiefs got here. Mm-hmm. And most of us sort of know the story, but it goes way back into the ownership and the fracturing and why the Chiefs are the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And then it's also modern day. I mean, they don't, right out of the gate, they say, look, we lost the three-peat, and then it's a flashback. Let's go back. How did we get here? How are the Chiefs here? Why is this team? They have video of Patrick Mahomes as like a 3-year-old and interviews with his mom, interviews with his dad.
Now, somebody did say on the text line yesterday that episodes 1 through 5 are great, but episode 6 is all about the big loss.
Okay.
So
I cannot wait. It's so well done. It's so well told.
Here's the only thing I'll disagree with you on. I think it is a run, do not walk if you live within 200 miles of Kansas City. If you are in New York or in Boston or in Miami or in Portland, Oregon, you couldn't care less.
Would you watch a show about the history of the New England Patriots?
No.
And probably not, but it's so well done.
Would you watch, if they put out a documentary on the 4 Super Bowls in a row that the Buffalo Bills went to in the 90s and lost— you wouldn't watch it.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. If it's well told, like the 30 for 30s and the other sports drama documentaries that have been released.
You're going to invest 5 hours of your life.
Listen to this. I am not a cycling person. The only thing I knew about Lance Armstrong is he was a cancer survivor and he dated Sheryl Crow. And that doping scandal.
Well, there's one other thing.
Documentary was one of the best things that
One?
Yes. One of the best things that I've watched.
He was missing it too.
And you could name a handful of those other 30 for 30s, the Manti Te'o. I didn't follow his football career.
But that was a two-episode series.
Scott, I would agree with you had we won.
If the Chiefs had won a third Super Bowl, I think it gets national attention.
You know who else is going to watch this? Everyone in Philly, because it goes way back into Andy Reid's career in Philadelphia and why he ended up even in Phily. I found it all to be very interesting.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. Dan Weinbaum, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So, story here from Channel 5, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department says a front seat passenger sustained a serious, if not critical, head injury in a Tuesday night accident. Officers were alerted to the incident at 7:30 last night. They learned that a silver Ford Mustang was speeding west on Red Bridge Road when the driver made a quick left turn onto Bennington Avenue. The Kansas City, Missouri Police Department writes, for reasons unknown, the passenger in the front seat was open, or the door was open, and the passenger was not wearing a seatbelt. That passenger flew out of the Mustang, hit their head on the curb.
I said this in the newsroom. How does that happen with modern-day cars and technology? And I understand clearly they are not wearing their seatbelt. Clearly. But how
even
do
even if
you
they had been, that would have been a really weird...
out of a car.
You said they took an abrupt left turn?
Very abrupt.
And the door seemed to be already open?
The story does not say that the door seemed to be already open. The person flew out the right side door.
I would be willing to bet that they were trying to record a drifting video.
What?
Drifting?
Drifting. Like Tokyo? Fast and Furious 3?
Okay, you're going to have to help us.
I've seen X.
So you drive really, really fast, and then you drop a gear, and then you tap the brake, and then you pull the handbrake, and you whip the wheel to the left, and the back wheels kick out, and then you slide sideways. It's called drifting.
And how does that make the door open?
Because I bet his buddy was hanging out of the vehicle to get a video of the car drifting.
We don't know that for a fact.
Just speculating, but there really is no other legitimate explanation for why a car door was open while taking an abrupt left.
Police did say, for reasons that are not clear.
Which means they were not in pursuit.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's how I read that.
I don't think it had, I just think they don't, like, what the heck's going on? What do you call the maneuver, Sam?
Drifting.
It's called drifting. It's an entire sport.
Sport,
oh, please.
Google professional drift cars, and you will find thousands of hours
the
of competition footage.
The act or activity of steering an automobile so it makes a controlled skid sideways through a turn with the front wheels pointed in a direction opposite of that. So, like every car chase you see in Hollywood, or where they're trying to be cool and they go, and then the car just stops and they go, yeah, what up? Like that?
Say what? Yeah, what do they say when they're done?
Yeah, what up?
Okay. Have you seen the movie Baby Driver?
Yes.
So I did see the movie.
Oh, I love
Baby.
That movie.
You know when he's in the avalanche at the beginning of the movie?
Yes.
And he's going really fast one way, and then all of a sudden he's going the other way? That maneuver that he did to turn around is called drifting.
Okay.
Yes. And it's very common for people to do things like that. You even see it in the videos that we get from the sideshows. The sideshows are effectively drifting in a circle, and you see people hanging out of the passenger door to get a video.
Okay, Scott and Dana, think back in the day, we would have called this fishtailing.
Okay.
Now it makes sense.
All right, I'm going to be honest. If you look this up...
And you're right, Sam. They hang out the window to film it.
People have... Yes. You will get results if you Google...
Drifting.
Drifting. Deaths. If you Google drifting deaths.
Apparently, you guys don't live your life 1/4 mile at a time.
No, apparently not, Sam.
But yes, I guarantee you that's what was happening.
You know what I did the other day? This is how much I know about cars.
Aggressively pulled a chair forward and broke your finger?
I was on my way back from Manhattan. Had to stop in Topeka to recharge. The place that you charge the car in Topeka happens to be in an Arby's parking lot. I'll have the 5 for 5.
You only got from Manhattan to Topeka and you had to recharge your car?
There and back. There and back. Okay. And so on the way back, I stop. I this is so dumb. I can't believe I'm admitting this. I plug the thing in and like I'm like, I guess I'll go into Arby's. I'll use the restroom. I'll get a Diet Coke and I'll come back. So I'm gone maybe 6 minutes. There's another guy parked next to me. Car locks. I walk in.
Did you have the meats?
I used the restroom. I had the meats. I got some curly Q fries. Okay, yes, I did. And then I got some Diet Coke and I'm walking out. And what I'm used to doing when I walk back to the car is unplugging the car. I unplug the car. I get in the car. I sit and I start scrolling on Facebook. About 10 minutes later, I'm like looking and it still says I don't have enough battery to get home. I'm like, what in the Sam Hill's going on? Maybe the charger's not working. I get out.
You unplugged it.
I unplugged it. There was that moment where I'm like, am I being punked? Did someone unplug my car? Which, by the way, you can't do. The cars are set up so it's not, you can't just walk up and unplug a car. I get back in the car and I'm like, oh my God, I just unplugged my own car. And then sat here like an idiot in an Arby's parking lot for 9 minutes of my life that I ain't ever getting back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much, Sam, I know about cars. So no, I don't know what drifting means.
You do have to plug it in for it to charge.
Yeah, yeah. I do now know that and recognize that.
Let me address this because we've gotten 2 or 3 texts about this. It is amazing how clueless the two of you are sometimes. Let me explain this to you, 4494. The fact that I don't know what drifting is not an insult to me. The fact that Sam had to explain to me this idiotic, moronic, stupid trend says that I'm living a normal life. Or as close to normal as you can get. The fact that I don't know what drifting is, if you think you're insulting me, you are not. I'm glad that I don't know what drifting is. Because here's why. It means that I've never done it. My kids have never done it.
That is the better analogy. Because can you imagine a 51-year-old driver in probably a Jeep drifting in Kansas City? They would be like, call the media. You're not going to believe what just happened.
Can you imagine Dana?
Marge here just thought she'd go drifting because she saw Baby Driver about 6 years ago.
Can you imagine if Dana and I leave work tonight and she says, get in the Tesla?
Pretty sure she was cranking Elton John when it happened.
I need you to get in the Tesla now. And I get in the right side of the car. All right? And we're driving down Shawnee Mission Parkway going 50 miles an hour. And we get over by, let's say, Neiman. And the left turn green arrow is on.
Yeah, you want to go to QT.
No. And Dana says, grab your phone and lean out the window. I'm about to drift. And I need you to film it. The fact that I don't know what the Tokyo Drift is.
Gold star for you.
Is good for me.
By the way, it's also prominently featured in the Cars movie. Turn right, go left.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not into animation. My kids are 25.
You should be. You should be. Have you not watched Up yet?
Came out.
No. Dana,
Scott.
I re-gifted it.
Will you please grab your daughters, grab tea, and watch that movie? You will call me when it's over and you'll say, thank you. I cannot believe I waited this long to have that movie in my life.
Also, you can't drift a Tesla. It's an all-wheel drive.
Sam,
I can't charge a Tesla and all you have to do is stick it in.
Excuse me?
Saving that one.
That's what I've heard. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Okay, so this just hit, and I want to mention it. I cannot imagine this is a topic because we would all be against what has happened here. But Sam, you remember the crazy story where a judge in Kentucky was in his chambers and a sheriff's deputy
like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Shot and killed the judge.
In cold blood.
And everyone was like, wait, what just happened?
They had just been at lunch an hour prior,
cutting it up,
laughing, having a good time, and then an argument started.
So there is an update. I think at the time, even our listeners were wondering, all right, what was going on behind the scenes, right?
There had to be an affair somewhere.
The Kentucky judge killed by a sheriff's deputy in Kentucky, quote, ran the courthouse like a brothel and traded sex for judicial favors at twisted parties, according to one victim. This is the update. The rural Kentucky judge, gunned down in his own chambers last year, ran a twisted sex ring in which young women were coaxed into performing acts just to get out of trouble, according to one of the alleged victims. Taya Adams alleges she was among those caught up in Judge Kevin Mullen's apparent sex for favor scheme that saw him and others in the tiny town of Whitesburg demand sexual favors in exchange for cash or to get offenders off the hook.
And the reason that the speculation was the sheriff went in and shot the judge was because when they were at lunch, he had asked to see his phone or something and had seen that there was a recent call or text from the judge to the sheriff's daughter.
One of the victims says, we would do these things at parties and perform. It was, quote, consensual, and I would stop right there and say, no, it's not. When someone in a position of authority, like a judge or a police officer, is telling you to do this, that's not consent, but that's her quote.
I get it.
But the thing was, quote, we were so young, and they used it against us to destroy our lives later. She said she felt forced to go along because she feared Child Protective Services would somehow get involved and upend her life. They would make sure, she said, you felt as small and degraded and belittled as possible to take your power away. She said, when asked why you didn't come forward, please, in a small town.
I understand.
She said, who would believe it anyway? The whole town was doing it. Nobody cared.
If the whole town is doing it, then everybody knows.
It was all a big party to them. It was so normal.
So basically you go out, you go criming, and you know that you're going to get a lighter sentence as long as you do. I will not continue my description.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Separately, a former deputy jailer at the county lockup, a jailer named Sarah Davis, said she had heard about nasty and sickening stories coming out of those parties.
Is it me or do we live in a sex crazed, and I mean crazed, world? After the P. Diddy trial and all this stuff with Epstein, and now this story out of Kentucky. I mean, My God.
I was talking about it a couple of months ago because I was looking for a new show to watch, and we stumbled upon three different shows that we like the premise of. And one episode in, we're like, is this a porno? Like, what is going on here?
When did I become normal and almost prudish?
Yeah.
Chilling surveillance footage allegedly captured the sheriff stepping into his pal's office and making a flurry of calls to his daughter before he opened fire.
Okay. Can I take us in a different direction if that's okay?
Yeah, that's the update. That's why I said this isn't a topic. We are all anti
murdering a judge.
Murdering a judge,
and,
but also
and
the sex
letting people off for sex.
Trafficking that was allegedly going on in that town.
Okay.
My God.
So Wallet Hub has put together the most fun states in America.
Okay. Hell right? of a transition.
Thank you. I'm trying to get out of this topic.
What is the metric? Like how many alcohol sales?
Entertainment and recreation.
Okay.
Nightlife. Indoor-outdoor activities,
okay.
Ability to socialize and stay active.
Okay.
So these are the most fun states. Philadelphia.
Okay, states, got it.
Right, so we're staying with states this time.
I'm going to go Florida.
Florida is number two.
Las Vegas.
Okay.
Nevada, Scott.
Nevada is number three,
mm-hmm.
Dana.
Nevada's number three. Florida is number two.
Mm-hmm. L.A.
L.A.
California.
Is number one.
Shut up, Sam. What about New York?
New York is number five.
Okay. Kansas or Missouri make the list, Scott?
It's all 50 states. So, yes, they do
How
make the list.
How far down are we?
Missouri is not that far down. Kansas is far down.
Yeah, Missouri's actually really fun, according to the list.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Texas.
Number eight.
Colorado.
Number six.
All right, I'm out.
Okay. So you've got six of the top ten.
Yeah.
Very good. Number 10, Oregon.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a coast. It's
all right.
Beautiful. Minnesota is number nine. Texas, you already got, number eight. Washington State, number seven. Colorado, six. New York, five. Illinois, four.
Chicago.
I figured Chicago would be on there.
Nevada, Florida, California. Missouri finished at 16th, the 16th most fun state in the union.
Hmm.
Kansas is number 41.
Now, I think this entire list is heavily skewed by city dwellers.
Maybe. Because
you could make a real argument that Utah is the most fun state because of all that they have to offer nature-wise. But I don't think the nightlife in Salt Lake is going to get them anywhere near the top of that list.
Well, no, not when everybody's in bed by 8.
My point exactly.
Wearing their magic underpants.
Oh, Scott Parks.
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Do not say that.
I apologize.
I don't even know.
Have you heard?
Would you care to guess the three least fun states?
Alaska.
No.
No. Least. Probably like a Montana or an Idaho.
Ooh. I wouldn't put Montana anywhere near the bottom of that list.
How much fun can you have with
a
hundreds
ton.
Of thousands of acres?
Beautiful, beautiful landscape.
Sprawling prairies, valleys, mountains.
Okay.
Gigantic national parks. Come on.
Nebraska.
No.
Iowa.
It is so obvious.
I got nothing.
Number 48, Rhode Island.
Okay.
But I'm an AG.
You're going to regret this.
Mm-hmm.
Number 49. Sorry, Dana. Mississippi.
Yeah. But there's a lot to do there. Beach, gambling.
Dental work.
Oh, my gosh. You are out of control today.
I'm sorry. Number 50, West Virginia.
Hmm.
Almost heaven.
All right. When we get back, we had a topic apparently that we talked about that I don't remember like a second ago. Have you heard of alpha-gal syndrome?
I'm sorry?
Alpha-gal syndrome.
Makes you allergic to red meat? You
yes.
get it from ticks?
It makes you allergic to red. Can you imagine getting bitten, and then now you can't eat meat. It is happening
in one town. You're allergic to red meat.
It is happening in one town.
Huh.
And apparently Justin Timberlake also got bit and has Lyme disease or something. But we're going to talk about AlphaGal.
There's a bit of a internet divide over whether he really had Lyme disease or not.
Well, it is debilitating and devastating if you have it.
Right.
Well, he was trying to say that it was part of what he was going through when
he wasn't performing on stage very well.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden now he's not doing well on stage. He's not performing well. And he said it, and he may have had Lyme disease. I don't know.
It is debilitating.
That's what I've heard. And but other people are saying, no, this is just an excuse for not performing well on stage. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's go to Pam in Excelsior Springs. Pam, good afternoon. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just happened to turn you on and heard you talking about AlphaGal.
Yes.
And so I'll just be brief, but I'll start from the beginning. About a year ago in June, I was diagnosed with AlphaGal. Started out for me, my husband and I'd have a ribeye on Sunday nights, and I was always, you know, feeling a little funny after that. And he's just thinking I'm trying to get out of, you know. So I actually started reading and researching. I'm outdoors a lot, had been bitten by ticks. So I went in, told my doctor, said, hey, I think I have this. She tested me for it, sure enough. But I wanted to spread the word a little bit. It isn't just eating. It is, I am fume sensitive. Barbecues, steakhouses, my very first experience, I put a pork roast in the oven, went out, sat on the back patio, talked to my girlfriend on the phone for an hour and a half, came back in, dropped to my knees, went into anaphylactic shock. AlphaGal is in toothpaste, shampoo, soap, toilet paper, dryer sheets.
Pam, what about dairy? Has dairy?
No, you can't have dairy. Now, dairy will affect me differently than meat. Like, dairy gives me a really bad upset stomach, and sometimes I'm in the bathroom for quite a while. But the worst for me is fume. I was standing behind a lady in the checkout last winter. She was wearing a wool jacket, and by the time I got home, I needed an EpiPen.
So one of the guys that they interviewed in this article, there's so many people who have this on Martha's Vineyard is where this is happening, Pam, also went into anaphylactic shock. How was it that you figured out to even, that this was what was making you sick?
Oh, well, like I said, back to, I don't eat a lot of meat other than chicken. So
okay.
I was running around one day. My husband worked nights, so I didn't want to go home and cook. I just went through Arby's drive-thru. And I got really sick, and I thought maybe I was just having trouble digesting beef, because I don't eat a lot. I just got online. I was sick as a dog for months because, you know, ham and cheese croissant, toast for breakfast, you know, even water bottles, magnesium stearate. You cannot have magnesium stearate with AlphaGal. So what was I doing? I was chugging water bottles. I was just making myself sicker and sicker.
Pam, does it go away ever?
No. Okay, some people say in time, over years, the effect will lessen. But for me, I've already been bit again this summer. So every time you're bit, it just sets you right back to zero. Now, some people can have dairy. Some people can sit in a steakhouse and smell the fumes. Some people aren't, you know, there's difference. For everyone, it's different. And the longer you go without diagnosis, the more it builds up in your system. So even just the slightest thing will leave you cramped in a ball.
My gosh, Pam, I'm reading more and more about this.
And
it
you
is
get this,
crazy.
You get this from a mosquito bite?
Yes. No, a tick.
A tick bite.
There were more than like 600 cases at Martha's Vineyard, which is not very big, right? The restaurants there now are putting AlphaGal friendly menu items on their menus because so many people have this. They call it a violent meat allergy and dairy.
By violent, you mean you're on the toilet?
Well, no. Like, one guy went into anaphylactic shock. Yeah. They had to give him an EpiPen, like Pam was saying, for her.
There is a spectrum. Some people will have anaphylaxis, and others will just have Montezuma's revenge.
Vicky and Lee Summit. Vicky, good afternoon. Hello.
How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Our oldest daughter, she lives at the Lake of the Ozarks. And about, I'd say probably 10 years ago, she started having issues. She had eaten a hamburger for lunch one day. Nothing bothered her until maybe about 10 o'clock at night. Her hands started to itch, kind of got swollen. She started having a problem with breathing. Her husband almost took her to the ER, but she took a bunch of Benadryl.
Yeah.
And that seemed to help and calm it down. Well, this happened several times, and she'd gone to a couple doctors. They didn't really quite know what it was. And, but she just kept doing her research and pinpointed Alpha-Gal. And so she's had it for about 10 years, and she does keep an EpiPen with her. But
oh, gosh, 10 years?
She can eat. Yep. She can have dairy. She can have everything. She can have pork. She can have lamb.
Just not red meat.
She can have everything except beef.
Oh.
So anything with a beef byproduct, like Jell-O, anything with whey in it.
Can't do. All right, Vicky, thank you for the call. But it's the Lone Star tick, by the way. A specific type of tick, and the population on Martha's Vineyard has boomed in tall grasses and wooded areas in recent years, and experts fear it's going to get worse due to the island's growing number of deer. Each deer this time of year probably has a couple of hundred ticks on them that are attached and feeding and producing new ticks for the next year. You got to get rid of the ticks. I don't know how.
By the way, they are around here. You can identify them. They are brown with a white dot on their back.
Almost looks like a lime green dot from here. White or lime green dot?
Pulled many off myself.
Oh, God.
The common thought is that you have to be in a wooded area, but Dana, as you mentioned, the tall grasses are actually the worst for picking up ticks.
Oh. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.